Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ, Lord of all, King over everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means He made it. Is His, and everything that goes on right now is part and parcel of the larger purpose and plan of God taking place in the earth. You know, and I know sometimes when things get a bit crazy in the world, you also got to stop and remember what's what, and remember what's real. You know, one quick caution as we get into things a little bit today is that be mindful of what goes in front of your eyes. Be mindful of the things that you take in. The scriptures are very clear. Guard your heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. So, and that's in Proverbs. So you want to guard your heart. You want to guard your mind. You want to guard your thoughts. You want to be mindful of that. Because if you just kind of go through life and just sort of open yourself up to whatever's out there, you know, you're going to get worked over pretty well by the world system, and a lot of people that have made it a science to deceive and to trick you. For example, you know, right now being in the U.S. and a lot of even what I saw in Sri Lanka too, when it comes to things like the media, you know, a lot of that is fear-based consciousness, and it's designed. It's not really journalism anymore. It's more controlled communication with a desired outcome and a desired effect. And they're just extensions of larger PR units of people that control those outlets. So it's stuff that's done with a deliberate intention. And a lot of it is fear-based consciousness. So if you don't realize that that's part of the game that's being played, and part of why things are presented in a particular way, and why things are pushed a particular way, then if you don't realize that, then in the end, it's going to affect your mind in a negative way. It's going to affect your thought patterns in a negative way. So just to realize that God is in control. There's so many things that take place around us on a day-to-day basis that God keeps in balance and allows to continue just so that you and I can exist here on the earth. And, you know, mankind left to his own devices has a way of destroying himself. But when somebody walks with Christ, when somebody walks with the Spirit of the living God and lets him lead and direct their lives, things change, and the things that you do result in life. They result in breath. They result in truth. They result in a path that leads to peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you like the world gives." Why? The world will never have peace. There will never be peace for the world, because inside they're not at peace. So what's inside comes out. And likewise, for the children of Christ, those that walk with Him, we have peace within, regardless of the external circumstance. We're able to always go back to a place of internal serenity amidst external turmoil. That was the way that when I did my word study on that one, that's kind of what sort of emerged from that peace that God speaks of, that Jesus speaks of. Internal serenity amidst external turmoil. And, you know, much of what we experience and see in the world right now, what's going on around us and outside of us, is going to increasingly be tumultuous, is going to be increasingly upheaval all around us. But you can walk through this with peace. You can walk through this in a way where you sleep well at night. You can walk through this in a way where your health is not negatively and adversely affected by all of it. Because sometimes when people get worried, they start having health problems because, you know, they haven't learned to release those things into God's hands. And in the end, they try to carry it themselves, and it just makes them sick. But when you trust God, a lot of things melt away. A lot of things will not grip on your body and hold on to you. So, yes. But, hey, grab your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 13. And verse 1 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, and my hand, pray for me, that my hand may be restored again, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, drink nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned, not by the way that he came to Bethel. And I'm going to stop there, because this story goes on, and it takes another turn from that point. But I want to just go through this first part. Incredible power encounters have been part and parcel of the life of the children of God in their existence upon the earth. Incredible encounters have taken place where those that have followed the voice of God have walked with him, and he has sent them into particular situations where many times they're difficult. Many times, if God doesn't act on their behalf, they're finished very quickly. We've talked a number of times, on here about Acts 15 and 16, and here's Paul and Silas, and they see the vision of the man of Macedonia, and they go in to Macedonia with the vision that said, come over and help us. And they went in there, and as soon as they started doing what God had for them to do, the attack started coming there. And here is another case. God sends his person, his servant, the one listening to his voice, into the situation, and he gives the word of the Lord. And in doing so, there is... the world doesn't like that. Now, here's the thing, is that power in this world can be very, very arrogant as they continue to go forward in their delusions, in their deceptions. But in this particular case, as this king, this insane king, as he even stretched out his hand. You can imagine this one in your mind as you hear this story. As he stretched out his hand towards this person and to just say, hey, you got to get this guy. And God shriveled up his hand as it was extended away from him. And it was in that moment that that king had a realization of how far that he had slipped from what it was that God was doing. And it's because also something had negatively affected him now. He's stuck with a hand that doesn't work, and he's looking forward, and he's like, oh my gosh. And in that situation, there is then a very quick realization of who walks with God and who doesn't. And notice that in verse 6 that he says unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored again me. Now, he knew that he was out of place with God. He knew that he was out of favor with God. You know, it's funny how people get very spiritual and how people get very, you know, they pull out all kinds of things. But when it comes down to it, when it comes down to something that is, now this is real, now this is important, now this matters, they know who walks with God and they know that they don't. They know that they're out of favor with the one who is above all. And they know that they're not in a position to ask him for anything. Now, what's interesting here is the man of God, he beseeches the Lord on this guy's behalf, and this king's hand's restored because he has the connection to be able to ask. He's in the place to be able to ask. But what's interesting here is the king's response in this whole thing. Instead of, you know, praising God and thanking God and repenting, his thing, his response, his reaction is to the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. So the whole thing there is like, okay, I want to try to buy this one off too. You know, I want to try to get this person that's got a connection onto my side. And you know what's happened is in the age that we live in right now, there are so many that have accepted that offer of the king to come home and refresh themselves and take a reward from that person's hand when God had told them to come out from among them, to be separate, to touch not the unclean thing, and he will receive them. When God has said unto them, and as this man of God in this situation had said, if thou will give me half thine house, I will not go with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for I was charged by the Lord to not eat or drink in this place, or to go back the same way that I came. So, you know, that. So in that particular situation, you know, God had given him a very clear instruction. Here's what you need to do. You need to go in, you need to do this, and then you need to not eat or drink in this place, and you need to not go back the way that you came. I want you to go through. Very clear. Go through. Don't participate in anything here. You need to go through, discharge your duties, discharge your assignment, and keep moving. And, you know, in that situation, he dealt with the king, you know, in the right way. Now, later on, this same story takes another twist. But, and we'll read that in just a second. But the first part is to understand that no matter what goes on with powers in this world, that there is a point in time where all of them are put in check. One way or another, they're all put in check. And all of them realize their mortality. All of them realize their dependence. And all of them realize the terror of being on the wrong side of God. It doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter how much power they have in this world and in the eyes of this world. They are terrified because they realize that they are on the wrong side. Now, in those situations, don't be surprised if those who were 1 second ago seeking your demise are the next second coming to you and asking you to pray to God on their behalf. That happens a lot. That's happened many times in my own life when, you know, people that have one moment been the ones in the back channels saying ill will against me, and then the next time turning around and asking to pray on their behalf to the Lord. And I look to God. I'm like, God, what do you want me to do with this? Because, you know, also, too, God is working out his purposes, and you want to be in step with him. You know, there are times, like we talked about in a recent audio, like God said to Saul, you know, how long are you going to cry about something I'm through with? There's times God's through with something, and you need to move on. You need to not dwell on that. You can't do anything for that situation. If you're going to stay in step with God, you got to keep moving with what he's doing. And there's times where he's through with certain people. You know, they've gone the way of the devil. They have given themselves over to that. They're being sucked dry by the world. Whatever reward they're getting in the world, it's not going to last anyways. And they've pretty much been, you know, God has rejected them. And they're very close, if not already past that tipping point of being discarded by the world, too. Because the world throws people out all the time. You know, the world is brutal. It's a meat grinder. And sometimes when people are starting out, they don't see that. But they see that later on. And, you know, but God will oftentimes, that's why you got to be in step with his spirit, because there's times that your response cannot come from an emotional place, okay? It can't come from an emotional place. It's got to come from a place being led by the spirit, because there's going to be times that God has you do things that may go against your emotions or may go against your immediate feelings. And sometimes that's just the way that we've been trained or the way that we've been taught. But God sees the bigger picture, and our role is just to be in step with him. Because he said, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have so he will do that. He'll have compassion on whom he'll have compassion. And likewise, we don't see the bigger picture. So sometimes he just doesn't want us to have any part. He just wants us to keep going. Do what you're supposed to do. Other times, yes, he wants us to go out there and to beseech him on behalf of others that can't do it on behalf of themselves, and to pray for them because they are nigh unto salvation, and we have a role to play in that. But just realize that the power of God is there, and in all that's taking place in the earth right now, that there is one higher than all of it, and he has a role for you and I to play. And that role will also involve many of you speaking to power and speaking the truth and speaking what needs to be said, and God will back you up. Just remember that. You do what God tells you to do, and he will back you up. Okay, let's keep going with this story. Verse number 11, because there's some cautions in here too. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, which way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, and art as thou art, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God and that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say that thee eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass on his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the house of the high places, which are in the city of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil ways, but made again the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whom would he consecrate him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Okay, so second part of this story. Few things happen and a few things take place. One, an old prophet in verse 11. Now, isn't it interesting that you got an old prophet in the land? You have a prophet in the land. Why is it that there was no word coming through this prophet for him to be able to speak what needed to be spoken at the start of the same chapter? What had happened to this man that he no longer heard the voice of God? That he no longer could speak the truths of God to power or to those situations? What had happened? See, one thing that this king obviously had a pattern. You know, in verse 8, he had said, you know, come with me to my house. Oh, verse 7, sorry. Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Basically, let the state take care of you. Now, participate. You know, come here. Bless me and I'll take care of you. That's not what God wanted for those that would speak truth in that time. And the byproduct of that was that there was no word coming through. The byproduct of that was that you have an old prophet living in the land that is subsequently willing to, in verse 18, lie to what at one point in time would have been his brother. At one point in time would have been a fellow messenger of truth. What had happened? Now here's the thing. When truth goes forward, when somebody moves forward in the things of God, all of a sudden, people will come out of the woodwork to try to latch onto that person. Just like in this case, here's this, you know, man of God. Isn't it interesting that you never get a name for this guy? I mean, there's never a name given. Yet he moved in as much power as anybody in the Old Covenant moved in during that time with all the things that were going on. Incredible power that was there and demonstrated, and yet his name is never recorded in the Scriptures. Now, in the end, you know, he lost his life unnecessarily as a result of what? Well, God had given him an original instruction. And he took his eyes off of God and listened to the word of men. What did that guy say in verse, the old prophet in verse 18? He said, I am a prophet also, as thou art. I'm like you. I'm just like you. Oh, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. But he lied unto him. I'm just like you. And an angel came and spoke to me. I mean, does this sound familiar? Somebody, please tell me. Does this sound familiar? How many times have the old prophets, the ones with all the credentials, and they've stood up and they've said, you know, I'm like you. I identify with that word that's going on with you, and I am here, and God has said this unto me, and I want to give you something good. I want to offer something to you. Bread and water, come into my house. But the end result of that is death. How many have fallen by the wayside because they listened to the old prophet? Because they listened to the old compromised guard. I honestly, in this country, in the United States, I struggle to find people that are in positions of quote unquote authority in this country that have not been compromised, that actually speak the truth, that are actually not wards of the state, that have actually not gone home with the king and refreshed thyself and taken a reward from his hand, and in so doing, partnered themselves with the evil and given their consent to the evil of the land. I struggle to find people that can speak the word of truth in this nation. You show me one, or two, or three, or four. I know a handful. I know a few, but they're few and far between. They're few and far between, and they're definitely not promoted by the state or the establishment or anything else. These are not the ones that get prime time air. By and large, they don't get to speak to the masses. No, the ones that get the approval of the state are the ones that play ball with it. The ones that get the approval of the state are the ones that turn a blind eye to the and consent to the evil that takes place. Those are the ones that get promoted. Those are the ones that are allowed to live in peace and safety in the land. Because why? Because they participate in it. You know, the interesting thing in this story is the time when that old prophet does finally get a word from God, and it is towards the destruction of the very one that he brought home. Then God gives him a word. For as much as you have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, I told you not to go back with these guys. I told you to have no part in what was going on in that land. See, when you... Okay, a little bit about some of the cultures in these regions and stuff. But when you eat and when you drink, when you sit down to eat and drink with somebody, many times what you're doing is you're also coming into a place of agreement with someone. You share a meal. And God didn't want that word and the person that was carrying that word to have any part. There is no agreement in that situation. He wanted that man of God to go in, discharge his duties, speak it, and leave. And the result of him not doing that was catastrophic for his own life, and it had an effect on the nation. You know, when this guy got taken out, I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that in verse 33 that it said that after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priests in high places, whomever he had. Would he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places, and this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. So when the light was destroyed, the darkness continued to go forward in its evil way, and the byproduct of that was the destruction of Jeroboam's own house. So here's the thing too, when light is put out, the darkness grows, but the end result is that ultimately it always consumes itself. Ultimately, there's nothing left. Ultimately, the people that go the way of the world are completely cut off. As much as they may hate the light and hate the truth and hate the ones that do what they do as God directs them and lead them, if we do not do what we do, and if we do not follow that call and that plan and that purpose that God has for us, they will be destroyed by their own choosing, by their own volition, by going the wrong way. It will destroy them and destroy the lives of everything under their authority. It will corrupt everything. The only hope that's there for them is that we do what God has for us to do. Now, in the process of you doing what God has for you to do, remember, there's going to be a lot of old prophets running around. A lot of old prophets wanting to hook into what you're doing. I'm just like you, brother. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord. I mean, what more can he pull out to try to establish his authority? But he didn't have it. See, when somebody compromises themselves with the world, when somebody gives their consent to the world system, they mitigate their authority. They destroy that which they would have had. They cut their own legs out from under themselves. And even if they have degrees on the wall, pictures, whatever, that's always what was. Not what is. God is I am. In this moment, right now, where are you? In this moment, right now, where is your volition? Where is your heart? Where is your intention? Where is your spiritual face pointed? Are you directed towards the Lord your God? Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love Him with everything that you are? Are you in connection with Him? Are you walking with Him? That's what it is. And if you're walking out life like that, you're fine. And if you're not, then you're not. And get on track. But realize that there are those that if you listen to them, they'll end up getting you killed. Realize that there are those out there that if you listen to them, they will end up getting you killed. There's a lot of people that are out there that speak things in the name of the Lord, but God has not said anything through them. God hasn't said anything through them for a very, very, very long time. They've been dead and gone for a very long time. Now you do what God has for you to do. You listen to the word that He speaks to you. He speaks to you direct. You do what God has for you to do, not what man instructs you to do. You'll see whenever God has a word for you or He uses other people to quicken or to reinforce something, it's going to go, it's going to resonate within, and it's also going to connect with the way that He already works and speaks with you and through you. Beware of the people that will redirect you. Because oftentimes, what's happening is there's a trap taking place. You need to finish your course. You need to go through. You need to discharge your duties and move on. Because as you do that, the positive results that God intends, they will take place. But you just have to do your part. But don't get caught up in their game. Don't fall for the trap. You can graciously, or you can not so graciously, but just decline the offer and keep moving. God will take care of you. God will watch out for you. He will always be there for you. But you got to follow Him. Listen to His voice and go all the way through. Have no part, because there's nothing there for you. He's in control. All right, hey, so just a word, keep you guys and encourage you, stay on that right track with Christ. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com, and you can reach us. We got a Facebook page. You can drop us a note there too. But yeah, say hi. We love you guys. Praying for you. God bless you. We'll talk to you sometime soon. All right. Bye.